Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And it's the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We're thrilled to report that Jim's internet is sort of back today, and we're at least giving a go at it. Jim, we missed you yesterday. A lot of fireworks up on Capitol Hill that we'll get to a little bit later. But we start with the good martinis. One is a genuinely good martini, and one you have to be a little bit politically cynical to appreciate, but both of us do. The first is that after basically a year since a pretty severe stroke, Illinois Senator Mark Kirk, who in 2010 won the seat once held by Barack Obama and then was attempted to be sold by Rod Blagojevich. Kirk won it, served well for a year, and then has basically been in rehab for the past year. We'll obviously see how much he can do here now that he's back, but it's good to have the full team back on the field, and it's a great story.
Amen. And obviously a stroke is a very difficult ailment to come back from, and so it's wonderful to see Mark Kirk up and around and able to, when somebody goes through something like that, it's good to have him around even to complain about, considering the alternative. So welcome back, Senator Kirk.
Absolutely right. And his walk up the Capitol steps, very inspiring yesterday. The other good martini today is that people who decided to vote for, let's just say, not the right reasons and ended up voting for Barack Obama, we'll call them the low information voters, are seeing smaller paychecks today. That's in and of itself not necessarily good news. But Jim, the people who push the president over the top are realizing that it's not just the rich people who are ending up toting the bill here.
Depending on when you get paid, a lot of people get paid on Fridays. Some people get paid on Thursdays. Apparently, as of last night, people started getting their paychecks, and they're like, "Hey, wait a minute. This is less than it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago or some period just at the end of 2012. And by the way, if you're wondering, well, wait a second, the pay period is for part of 2012. Why are the taxes going up? It's because your paycheck, the taxes for your paycheck depend on when the check is written, not on what the tax rates are when you're doing that labor. How much your paycheck is smaller depends upon basically taking 2% of your pre-tax salary. Divide it by 26 if your pay period is biweekly. Divide it by 52 if your pay period is weekly. And for most folks, you're getting something in the neighborhood of, $20, $40, $60, or more than that. And, it's not a huge amount, but it's noticeable, and it was. And you think about this over every pay period for the coming year, for lots of Americans, you're talking about hundreds of bucks or thousands of dollars just out of a 2% increase in the Social Security payroll tax. This was a planned expiration of a temporary tax cut that you didn't really see much discussion of extending. Now, what's interesting is that Barack Obama has spent much of his campaign and much of the last month saying, look, I am protecting middle class tax cuts. I only want to tax millionaires and billionaires and Warren Buffett and all those rich people. And he's said this at every available opportunity. So now 2013 dawns and Americans have believed, I'm not going to pay any more taxes. It's just those darn rich people. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, why is my paycheck smaller? What's going on? And apparently over at Twitchy, the good folks who cover the news based on Twitter, said that one of the Google search terms that keeps bringing them there today is, why is my paycheck smaller this week? So a lot of people having a rude awakening. And we can kind of chuckle about this and say that even though this is not a result of the Obama income taxes increases, this is a real look. I think most Americans perceive taxes in the aggregate. A tax increase is a tax increase. And that, maybe there should have been some discussion of extending the payroll tax cut that we'd had for the past 2 years. I think this is going to spur a great deal of cynicism about President Obama, deservedly so. And also, I think a great deal of cynicism about the mainstream media, because you heard almost no discussion of this before the end of the year. And I think a lot of people look at this and say, wait a minute, what I've been promised by the president, what the media has been telling me, completely does not match up with what I'm actually seeing in my pay stub as the new year begins.
Way to go, 51%. Way to go. Should be pointed out.
I say, hope you enjoy it, 51% is a perhaps a better way of putting that.
All right, on to martini number two now. And Jim, one of the things you really don't notice on the dawn of a new Congress is the people who aren't there anymore. And there are a number of prominent people who aren't back for the 113th Congress. One of them, longtime Massachusetts Democrat and conservative pariah Barney Frank, former chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. On his first day not in office, he goes on Morning Joe on MSNBC. And Joe Scarborough says in passing, just as they're about to wrap up the segment, hey, if the governor wants to appoint you to be the interim senator if John Kerry's confirmed Secretary of State while they're prepping for the special election, would you do that? And Frank says, not initially, but now I've decided that I really, really want it. Here's what he said.
That deal now means that February, March, and April are going to be among the most important months in American financial.
So you'd consider it?
If I, yes, in fact, you know, I'm not going to be coy. It's not anything I've ever been good at. I've told the governor that I would now like, frankly, to do that because I would like to be a part of that. It's only a three-month period. I wouldn't want to do anything more. I don't want to run again. Right. But, yeah, I think for these, it's almost, to be honest, a little arrogant. Coach, put me in.
Can you imagine Barney Frank with much more time on the floor than he had in the House of Representatives? Jim, if he were to launch into some sort of filibuster, that would be pretty darn nauseating. And the idea that just one day after we thought we were rid of him, he might be back is, well, that's less than thrilling.
I think he wants to come back because I want to gamble with the housing market a little bit more, as he said back in 2006, right before the housing market crashed. Barney Frank, always an advocate of pressuring banks to lend more and to lower these standards and credit rating, credit, you know, requirements to make loans. And look where that got us. You know what? This is a doubly bad martini because, one, the prospect of Barney Frank returning to Congress when we were just, you know, one of the few good things about 2013 was going to be finally rid of Barney Frank. Well, now he's back. And the other thing is I could see Deval Patrick doing this. This really would make a lot of sense. As much as we can't stand him, he's very, you know, pretty widely liked among Massachusetts Democrats. He's already announced his retirement, so nobody's really afraid that he's going to, you know, suddenly decide to run for a full term as senator or anything like that. He would be a very safe pick for Deval Patrick and one that would, you know, not alienate too many factions of Massachusetts Democrats. Not appear to play favorites in the actual special election they'll have later this year, et cetera. So yeah, this could happen, and that would be very much a bad martini for today.
It would be a very bad
martini. A bad martini for the next couple of months, if nothing else.
On to martini number three now, Jim, and this was kind of fascinating to see it play out on the House floor yesterday. The very first thing that happens in a new session, new Congress of the House of Representatives, is the vote for Speaker. John Boehner was the incumbent Speaker. The Republicans kept the majority, so the expectation was that he would win again. But a number of conservatives very upset with his handling of the debt ceiling last year, especially with the fiscal cliff negotiations over the past few weeks. And so there was an effort to either send a message or actually try to create serious trouble here because nine of them actually voted for someone else. And I think two or three voted either present or just didn't bother to vote. But in the end, after all of this drama, there were 426 people in the chamber, meaning that Boehner needed 214 votes to be elected speaker. And here was the announcement.
Therefore, the Honorable John A. Boehner of the state of Ohio, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 113th Congress.
Be interesting to see what changes, if any, are made on the committee assignments now, Jim. But the bizarre part of this was that if they were trying to do something more than just send a message to Boehner that conservatives weren't thrilled with his leadership over the past 2 years, it wasn't very well organized.
There's an old joke during a time of more cynical perspective on marriages where you'd say to a person, you know, do you love your wife? And he'd say, well, compared to what? I am not quite as angry at Boehner as some other folks on the right are. I think this is a thankless job with really very little leverage in these types of negotiations. However, if you'd say to me, you know, do you want to replace John Boehner as Speaker of the House? The first and most rather important question is, well, with who? Because I can think of a whole bunch of people who'd probably be, you know, worse in the job. And I can probably think of some folks who might be better in the job, but none of those people seem all that interested. There's been this, you know, strange dynamic of people who are upset with Boehner and also even over in the Senate, people who are not impressed with Mitch McConnell. Well, there's something strange going on in that nobody else seems to want those jobs. And my suspicion is that a lot of the folks who identify themselves as true conservatives and who see Boehner and or McConnell as sellouts kind of recognize that once you're in charge of the whole caucus, it's a lot harder to be a true conservative. And that once you get into negotiations with somebody like Harry Reid and somebody like President Obama, folks who aren't going to give an inch and don't really care if, you know, things go to pot while you're in the process of these, you know, cliff negotiations and stuff like that, that, you know, chances are at some point you'll come out with something that a lot of people will think of as half a loaf. And all of a sudden, then you're not a true conservative anymore. So my attitude is that this is really a thankless job. And I don't think there's, you know, as disappointing as Boehner and McConnell may be, I don't think there's necessarily a heck of a lot of ways to do the job a lot better than they're doing it right now. But even if you completely disagree with me, even if you think you can, you know, Republicans can have a much more effective Speaker of the House, a better communicator, a better strategist, a guy who really can, you know, win over, break away the conservative Democrats that are remaining in the House caucus, if you want somebody to do that, you need a name. You need a person. You can't just say other to be determined. You know, you need some other candidate. The only name that ever gets mentioned with any regularity is Tom Price, and he very explicitly was saying that he was not running this time around. And so I don't really understand the point of voting present, particularly when we made so much fun of President Obama for doing something like that. And I don't really understand why, you know, if you're going to have a coup, you need a replacement. You can't just say, I'm angry at you, Boehner. And that's what this amounted to. I think it looked like kind of an immature tantrum. I think it looked like I think Dave Weigel had described it as something like, this is like taking a shot at the king with the intent to miss, because you can't, you know, suddenly ambush Boehner, have him out, and then suddenly have no speaker to replace him. So I just found the entire logistics of this very strange. The entire rumors that Boehner was going to be defeated, that he didn't have the votes, that he was going to resign, all this kind of stuff. None of it struck me as very plausible without an alternative. And, you know, look, for everybody who's dissatisfied with him, yesterday was the moment of put up or shut up. And this is going to be the exact same dynamic we're going to have until there's some other House Republican who says, you know what, I'm really dissatisfied with the job Boehner's doing, and I think I can do a better job of leading this caucus. And as of now, nobody else wants to do that.
Yeah, the rumors that were flying around Wednesday night were pretty ridiculous on a number of levels. I think the greatest frustration, the constant negotiating with yourself when the president and the Democrats weren't doing anything on the other side. And I think Boehner probably won over a lot of people by saying he's going to let the regular process take over from here on out. No more direct negotiations with the president and that sort of thing. So we'll see if that holds, and we'll see if that makes a difference if he actually pass what you want to pass, wait for the Senate to do what they're going to do, and then hammer it out in conference potentially.
And Boehner should, you know, come out of yesterday's vote with a certain amount of anxiety. He should know that, look, the stage is set for somebody else to take the speakership from him. But until that role is cast, you know, he's the guy, and Republicans have to muddle through under his leadership as best as they can.
As conservatives go here for the next 2 years, the House of Representatives is our firewall. So we need to hope for the very best out of the House of Representatives. Jim, glad you're, for the most part, back up and running online. Have a fabulous weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you Monday.
Jim Garrity is from National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus from Radio America. Please join us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.